أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، all thanks, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our maker Allah, our creator Allah. And we send darood and salam upon the beloved and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our subject is Shaitan's plan for man, and we commence today with a new chapter. And the new chapter is entitled The Deceptions of Shaitan. The first part of the new chapter is the deceitful tasks of five children of Shaitan. Brothers, Shaitan has many children. Shaitan has many, many children, many, many offspring. There are five major ones, or call them his eldest children. These five, from time to time, any shaitan, any chief of the shayateen, chooses five of his children for particular and special tasks. We have, for example, in South Africa, we have the army, and the army has special task forces. You have a battalion like we had, the Kufut, and we have battalion 32 and similar. They are trained in special tasks. Shaitan chooses five of his children to carry out a special assignments. These five have been described in the hadith. So we commence now with this new chapter. The title of it is The Deceptions of Shaitan. In other words, for the next few weeks and lessons, we are going to study the various methods, systems adopted by Shaitan to deceive human beings. The first part we are going to do is called The Deceitful Tasks of Five Children of Shaitan. Hazrat Zaid bin Mujahid radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported that Shaitan has accorded certain major fraudulent, cunning and fraudulent and deceitful tasks to five of his shrewdest and most deceitful children. The names of these five children of Shaitan are as follows. 1. Basr. 2. A'war. 3. Matus. 4. Dasim. And 5. Zambur. I'll repeat the names again of these five children. Over the ages and the centuries, Shaitan, any one of them dies, he is replaced with another one of a similar name, with the same name. These five children, chosen for special assignments and tasks by their father, the big Shaitan, the chief Shaitan, is called Basar, A'war, Matus, Dasim, and Zambur. Each one of them operates with a strong force of devils, of shayateen. Each one has a contingent, a special battalion of shayateen with them. So there are five of these shayateen with special tasks and task forces. Their evil tasks are as follows. Now I describe to you each one. I first take their name and then their special assignment on humankind, on human beings. Basar. Number one, Basar. Basar is that shaitan who has to concentrate on the anguish, the pain, the difficulties, and the suffering of the people. What I am saying here is, Basar has a special several thousand shayateen in his group, in his battalion, in his contingent, and these go around in a locality looking for people who are suffering, who are in difficulties, who have been struck with pain or anguish, poverty, need, whatever. People that have been hurt, people that have been brutalized, people who have been downtrodden, people who are worried. He goes looking for such people. Basar must then mislead these people when they are in this condition and in this state of mind, by deceiving them through deception and through lies, preferably leading them to ingratitude and then to unbelief. So we are not going to outline here, that is still to come. But what I'm saying basically, Basar goes around and he is the chief. He sends around those that are his soldiers. He sends them around and they go and scout a particular area looking for people that are in trouble, in difficulties, and then they go and waswas these people. And when they waswas them, they make these people, for example, I don't want to give the examples now, brothers, that is to follow, but for one, just as a start off, as a kickoff, he will go into a person that is suffering or pain, anguish, torment, who has perhaps lost a child or a wife or a mother or a father or somebody beloved, and then he goes to him and they whisper to this person, or he's become bankrupt, or he's lost his home, or he's lost his car, or whatever. Then shaitan pushes him, well, what kind of Allah have you got? I mean, this kind of Allah that takes away your beloved wife, your beloved child, and then this person, through shaitan's waswas, utters something that is kufr. For example, why did Allah take my... Couldn't Allah have taken anybody else's wife? Which is complete kufr. That is what I mean. Why should I become bankrupt? Why not the next man? Why should I lose my house? Why not the next man? Why should I lose my car? Why not the... He is not satisfied with his takdir. That is kufr. So that is through the waswas of shaitan. Now those shayateen that are under basar, that is their special task. They go in their thousands and they look for people that are suffering. Number two, the other task force, the second one, falls under this main shaitan whose name is A'war. And A'war is one of the chosen children of shaitan. And his special task is to charge people emotionally to commit zina, to commit fornication, and to make it look beautiful and excusable to them. A'war provides them with reasons to justify the commission of haram acts. All kinds of adulterous acts and fornicating and zina and all the things that go with this kind of immorality. So he goes around encouraging illegal, illicit relationships between men and women. Those that are haram. He goes to married women and entices them to fall in love with men. And the same thing he does with men. With unmarried men, he entices them to fall in love with those and to commit haram acts with others, with married or unmarried women and so on. This happens in the offices, this happens in the factories, this happens in the shops, this happens in the bazaars, this happens all over. He goes and the moment he sees two people whom it is haram, for whom it is haram to meet, to create liaisons between, then shaitan immediately comes in and he starts whispering, that girl loves you. He goes to the man, he goes to the girl and he says, that man loves you. And he creates this kind of fitna and illicit bond between two people, and he encourages them to do things which are haram until they end up committing zina. That is by whom? That is by this second force, A'war. And each one of them has got thousands, they can call upon thousands, 10, 20, 50, 100, 200, 300,000 shayateen to come in, join them. As they require, they call in reinforcements to help them to carry out their task. For one man and one woman, there can be up to 1,000, up to 10,000 shayateen encouraging one person, one man to commit zina, and the same amount with the woman. Each one forcing, penetrating, whispering, suggesting to them to commit this evil deed. The third child of shaitan, his name, who is commissioned with assigned with a special task to deceive people and to mislead people, to seduce people, he is called Matus. Matus, this chosen child of shaitan, Matus and his special force are set the task of carrying false and baseless stories about good people to talebearers and to gossipers, who are then provoked to take these false stories forward to others as facts and state it as facts. Most of these are idle, malicious and scandalous tales which bear no truth whatsoever. Here it is. Good people, pious people, innocent people, men and women, there are those amongst us who are gossip carriers, tale bearers. They hear something about a good person and a pious person, particularly women, and then they take these stories around. Shaitan waswases them. Shaitan puts this false idea and story into their hearts. He plants them into their minds. Matus and his specially assigned devils. They penetrate the mind, inject it into the heart of such tale-bearing people, and then they carry these stories around and go and tell the next man. They go to the neighbor or other areas, other peoples, and then they carry these stories. You know about that person? You know about that one? This is the kind of person. I've heard this and this about him. And if they are questioned as to their authority, then they will lie, they themselves will deceive, they will say anything in order to make out as if they, whatever they are saying is based on concrete and positive fact. That is Matus and company. The fourth child of Shaitan that carries out his devilish task amongst people with his forces is called Dasim. Dasim, he accompanies a person, brothers, listen to this very carefully. You're going to learn something very, very interesting. Each one of us will benefit from what we're going to hear now. Dasim and his specially assigned task of devils, they accompany people when they enter their homes without making salam. And then he points out to them, he points out to him, to the person entering the house, his own house, he points out to them, to him, the faults, errors and imperfections of his house people, and thereby makes him upset, angry and agitated, causing him to use very sarcastic, impolite, harsh and even abusive words with them. You understand what this is? This is what it means. I am master of my house, alright? I come in, knock on the door, or sometimes I don't knock on the door, which is completely wrong, even if I'm master of the house, and even that is my house. But whenever you knock, you wait until somebody opens the door or gives you permission to enter the door, and then you enter, and you must greet first. As you take your first step into your house, you greet aloud, you make salam, and then you go in. How many of us unwittingly enter the house, we don't make salam? It's my house, I walk in. Why must I make salam? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. If we do not make salam, Dasim comes right up to the door with his company of devils. And if you enter the door and you do not make salam, immediately they rush in with you and they start injecting you, waswasing you, whispering into you, this one is, your wife is like this, your daughter is like this, your son is like this, this one is like that. That all types of imperfections, faults and errors of the people. So he waswases the Amir of the house, the father, the breadwinner, the major person, he gives false waswas into, and then this person sometimes is likely either immediately or later to make remarks which are not based on fact. And immediately turmoil, strife, fighting and argument comes out in that house, begins in that house. In this way, Shaitan tries, by winning the affection of the main person, of the father, the husband, and the breadwinner, by winning him over through his lies, through his deceitful talks and waswas, he tries to win the main person over. Once he has won him over, then there is turmoil, and there is frustration, and there is argument, and there is fighting all the time in that house. This is what Dasim and company try to achieve. Friction and argument they try to arouse in that family. Brothers, we must always watch out for this. Always make salam. So much so, our ulama write that when you enter your house, make salam aloud, even if there are no people in the house, make salam aloud. The malaikas are there to hear you and to reply to you. But always make salam. Remember, Dasim and company, shayateen are waiting. They come right up to there, they're hovering over your shoulder, and the moment you enter and not make salam, into the house all of them come. And immediately, even if there are no people in the house, at that moment, they waswas you. Where are they? You know where your wife is gone? You know where your daughter is gone? You know where your son is gone? All this type of poisons and lies he tries to fill into your heart. Alright, this is their work. So please bear that in mind in future. This is a very, very important lesson that we must keep in practice. Always make salam. Salam is a powerful protective mechanism for Muslimin. Number 5. The fifth child of Shaitan, trained on a special assignment to mislead, to deceive people, to seduce people, he is called Zambur. Zambur roams the bazaars and marketplaces for his victims using charms, shamelessness, roaming eyes, haram meetings, evil desires, sinful requests, music, dance, drink, ego, lust, etc. to captivate and lead people astray. This is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has so often reminded us in his sayings, in his traditions, in the ahadith, are contained warnings to Muslimin not to roam the bazaars and marketplaces with for no reason. Very, very careful. We are warned by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that these are danger spots for the iman of a Muslim. We must always be careful of these places. And here it is. It is Zambur and his large force of devils, of shayateen. They roam the bazaars, roam the marketplaces for their victims. And they use charms. In other words, they use their magic, their sorcery, their witchcraft in order to get people, to induce people through their evil suggestions to do things which they would not normally do, to look at things which they would not normally look at, to purchase things which they would not normally purchase, to talk to those whom they would not normally talk to use their eyes. That is why I say roaming eyes. Eyes wander. How beautiful is that woman? How beautiful is that girl? How nice is this? How nice is that? Look at worldly things. We're not only talking here about men looking at strange women and women looking at strange men. We're also talking at lusting after material things. When you go into bazaar, oh, I wish I could purchase this lounge suite. Oh, how I wish I could purchase this carpet. These are all longings and desires that shaitan fills into the mind of man. He creates these thoughts and impressions in the mind of man to lust after material things. How often have we gone and then we have heard our daughters, our sons, our wives saying, oh, how nice if we could afford this, how nice if I could buy this shoe. Look at the price. What's the price? 150 rand a pair. No, I can't afford it. But the desire remains. This is by the instigation of shaitan. He instigates. That is Zambur and company instigating the children, putting up the wife, putting up our daughters, putting up our sons to lust after. That is all. Those are the things I mean also. Alright? Shamelessness. Looking at things that are shameless. You are looking at things that are totally haram to look upon. All those things are forbidden. Haram meetings. You meet somebody that is a stranger, completely. Girls meeting strange boys, school friends, university friends and so on. And immediately a discussion ensues because you've gone to the bazaar. And all these type of awful and haram things that happen and meetings that happen, evil desires, sinful requests are made. Let us meet there, let us talk there, let us go to that party, let us go to that cinema, let us go and see that show, let us go to that meeting. All the time shaitan is instigating, and there he is going to use his charms and his magic in order to create haram acts. Right? And today I have to mention this because our children are indulging, not only children, men, even grown-ups are indulging in things like going to music, attend music sessions and so on, dance parties. I am told so often, Maulana, go on a Friday night or a Saturday night to all our discos and you will find how many Muslims you can pull out of there. So there it is. Why would they say that unless they know? And I've heard it very, very authoritatively also from even fathers and mothers who say their children go, they do not know what to do. All right? Drink, ego, lust, etc. All right. Here is the commentary. What I've given you now is the five names and their description, their particular assignments and tasks. It appears from this narration of Hazrat Zaid bin Mujahid radiallahu ta'ala anhum that shaitan concentrates on these particular areas of human life. That is, firstly, showing compassion and sympathy with troubled and suffering people, and then suggesting to them what is happening to them is unfair and unjust. They then make injudicious and inappropriate remarks, which may be kufr and even shirk. Secondly, causing people to commit zina. And this category would include all forms of sex perversions and sex arousal ways, which comes easily to people who live liberal lives, who want to be free from the constraints of the Islamic law, Sharia. Thirdly, carrying untrue stories about people to others and stating these to them as substantive facts. This creates enmity and hatred, conflict and divisions amongst families and jama'as. And shaitan thrives and gains great pleasure from this. Fourthly, when people enter their homes without making salam, Dasim and his evil forces slip into that home and busy themselves with creating internal conflict, which we call fitna, and division, which we call tafriq, which can do irreparable harm to that family or families. Major family upheavals are the result of shaitan's nefarious activities inside people's homes. And it is that person himself who has allowed Dasim and company to come in and create this fitna. Home disruptions are a curse on anyone. Fifthly, are the dangers associated with the meeting, trading and entertaining centers of cities, villages and towns. Here, Zambur roams with his forces to invite, to incite and to excite people who are not in the remembrance and in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tremendous mischief is created in these bazaars, in these marketplaces, in these town centers by shaitan, and much sin and evil occurs there. O Muslimin, now that we have been warned, O Muslimin, now that we have been warned, let us take due precautions not to be misled and deceived by shaitan. We are the noblest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we live in obedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if our iman and if our a'mal are in place, then shaitan will find very little space to operate in, to deceive us, to mislead us. Let us live with restraint and humility as the true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Chapter 1, the chapter that we are doing, part 2. And part 2 is shaitan's stations and operations. Shaitan's stations, you know, like when we travel by train, then it says this station, that station, Paro station, Goodwood station, Babel station, Cape Town station, and so on. Now, shaitan's stations. Now, shaitan builds his stations in places, alright? So I call it shaitan's stations and shaitan's operations. How shaitan deceives people, how he operates. We are looking in this chapter at how shaitan functions. What does he do with people? Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I quote, "The cursed Iblis sits his seat," his office in other words, "sits his seat, his office, over the water. And from there he sends out his workers to create mischief. The one who creates the biggest fitna," meaning the biggest mischief, "becomes the greatest favorite of shaitan," of the chief shaitan in other words. Shaitan, the hadith continues, shaitan checks his workers when they return from creating mischief amongst the people. One of his workers states that he made such and such mischief. Shaitan says, you have not done much. Shaitan says, "You have not done much." Another worker says that he sowed dissension and caused a separation between a husband and a wife. On hearing this, Shaitan, their chief, calls him and makes him sit down very close to himself and says that "You have done very well indeed, and I am extremely proud of you." Let's listen to this hadith again. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I quote, "The cursed Iblis sits his office," meaning his seat, meaning his office, "over the waters. And from there he sends out his workers," meaning his fellow devils, those that operate and work under him. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu continues, he says, "The one who creates the biggest fitna becomes the greatest favorite of the chief shaitan. Shaitan checks his workers when they return from creating mischief amongst the people. One of his workers states that he made such and such mischief amongst the people. Shaitan says, 'You have not done much.'" In other words, shaitan is not pleased with the result. Another worker says that he sowed dissension and caused a separation between a husband and wife. In other words, he waswas them, he whispered to them to such an extent they eventually broke up and separated. On hearing this, Shaitan, their chief, calls him and seats him close to himself and says that you have done very well indeed and I am extremely proud of you. Unquote. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from Shaitan. Ameen. Next hadith. Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that every morning the chief Shaitan sends out his forces into the world and he tells them that he will reward with a crown the one who seduces a Muslim, meaning causes a Muslim to go astray, to err and to deviate. One of Shaitan's forces reports back that he caused a Muslim to divorce his wife. The chief Shaitan says, well, he may marry another woman. Another one of his forces that have been sent out to create mischief amongst the people and to create havoc reports that he caused a Muslim to be disobedient and impudent towards his parents. Their chief says, I won't be surprised if he goes on serving his parents again. Another Shaitan sent out to commit evil and sin says that he caused a Muslim to drink wine. Their chief says, you have done very well. Another devil reports that he caused a Muslim to commit zina, adultery or fornication. Their chief says, that is extremely good. Another one reports that he caused a Muslim to commit murder. Their chief says, that is simply fantastic. And so it goes on as each one of the workers reports back to their chief the mischief that they have created amongst the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from Shaitan. You know, when we were taught, then we are told when you recite such hadiths, you must always ask the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Shaitan. Ask that Allah shelter you from this type of thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. These are the holy words of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here it is, I'm not going to recite this again, I'll give the commentary rather. The commentary is as follows, Shayateen, the plural of Shaitan is Shayateen. Shayateen, in other words, devils exist in this world and they wreak havoc on men. They are numerically far more than men. They have a grudge and an intense hatred for men. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created men to be nobler by virtue of Iman and Islam. I again repeat with ample emphasis that Iman and A'mal Salihah, meaning good, pious and virtuous deeds, which accord with the Sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are the only saving graces for the Muslimin. We must be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we must be obedient to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if we wish to be saved from the devilry and from the deceit of the shayateen. We must therefore know and practice the teachings of our deen. If we are ignorant of Islamic teachings, then we are in a lot of trouble. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all. Ameen. Chapter 1, in other words, the chapter we are doing, part 3. You notice that I've divided them into various parts. This is part 3. And part 3 deals with the deceptions and frauds of Shaitan. They are varied and they are many. The heading of part 3 is the deceptions and the frauds of Shaitan. They are many and they are varied. In other words, they are various kinds and they are numerous. Shaitan practices many kinds of frauds and numerous types of deceit with people. He studies the weaknesses of people very closely and then uses the most appropriate technique to overcome people. He exploits the weaknesses of men to such an extent that he seldom fails when he sets his mind on a person, male or female. The reason for this is because Shaitan is very convincing. His lies are very, very convincing and he connives to perfection, leaving few loopholes to recognize his deceit and his fraud by man. Shaitan thrusts, Shaitan tempts, Shaitan lures and Shaitan draws most people with carnal desires and material things. Lust and passion are his major weapons with people. Millions of marriages which Shaitan detests, in other words, marriage itself, Shaitan detests. Shaitan hates human beings to get married. Millions of marriages which Shaitan detests. Millions of individuals, millions of homes, millions of families, and millions of communities, community life, Shaitan also despises. All these things Shaitan despises have been destroyed by falling for the temptations of Shaitan. Like the ocean currents carrying sailing ships, so Shaitan deceives people. In other words, we human beings are like the currents that carry the ship. The current goes whichever way. If you've got a sailing boat, whichever way the currents take you, whichever the way the winds drive you, so you go. Now when Shaitan gets into a human's life and takes control of a human life, then we are like that ship, sailing ship, that is going wherever the current takes you, you go. Now the same thing happens, this is by way of example, the same thing happens with a human being who does not carry out the actions that are required by Iman and A'mal-e-Salihah. If he does not follow Allah and His Rasul, if he is not obedient to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he becomes like that ship that has got, that just simply follows the currents and the winds and they've got no say of their own. So he gives his life over to Shaitan and Shaitan then leads him any way that it wants to. They are carried along by Shaitan and they are flung onto the rocks of life when he has thoroughly deceived them. Just look at many public figures and men of importance. Their personal lives are a complete disgrace. They possess wealth, they possess intelligence, but they are bereft of morals and ethics. And so also are the millions of people being daily deceived by Shaitan. It is wrong to assume that only the unbelievers are deceived and misled by Shaitan. No, millions of Muslims daily are equally deceived and led astray by the shayateen. In any case, my lessons deal mainly with the Muslimin. We have nothing here to discuss with regard to the non-Muslimin. Our stories and our lesson deal with the Muslims in particular. So we are concerned with the millions and millions of Muslims who are unaware of how Shaitan deceives them. It is recorded in the authentic ahadith that the angels, meaning the malaikas, are amazed when a Muslim dies with his iman intact. Isn't it amazing? When a Muslim dies, and he dies with iman, the malaikas are shocked. They are amazed. They are astonished. Abdul Aziz bin Rafi' rahmatullah alayh, Abdul Aziz bin Rafi' rahmatullah alayh recorded that when the ruh, the soul of a Muslim who has died, is taken up into the heavens by the angels, by the malaikas, the angels that pass them on their way, as they are taking the ruh to its destination, after the ruh has left the body, and after we have buried the person, they take the ruh and they take it to its destination, whatever the destination is. As they take it, they pass millions of angels on the way, malaikas that are going to their duty in the heavens. The heavens are created that space. That is not empty space. All these things that we are sending up into the heavens, towards the heavens, all these spacecrafts that we are sending up, they see just blank space. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had endowed human beings with that vision, they would see that the space in the heavens is filled with malaikas going to and fro on their tasks. Everything that happens on the world, all the natural events that are taking place in the world, are happening through the will and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the agency of the malaikas. Like wahi was brought down by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Similarly, all other tasks are carried out by the malaikas. Allah commands, orders, and the malaikas carry out the injunctions and the ordinances of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. So, the space is not vacant. The space is filled. Even here, everything is filled up with the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, when the ruh is being taken to its destination, malaikas that pass these that are taking the ruh, this is what happens. The angels that pass them on the way, they say, Subhanallah, that Allah has saved him from the temptations of Shaitan. This ruh you are carrying. Look at, they actually state, they say, look at the noor of this ruh. Look at the wonderful aroma, the fragrance that is coming. The heavens, the fragrance of this ruh that has died with iman encompasses a large area of space. And as the malaikas cut through that space on their way to carry out their task, they get this fragrance and they know that this fragrance is the fragrance of iman. That means this ruh that these malaikas are taking to its destination, this is the ruh of a mu'min, of a Muslim who has died with his iman intact. The malaikas are amazed and they say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved this person from the temptations of shaitan. It is certainly surprising to see one who has been saved. This is the statement of the malaikas, which I have translated. They say, Subhanallah, that Allah has saved him from the temptations of shaitan. It is certainly surprising to see one who has been saved. Saved from who? Saved from shaitan. This shows us, unquote, this shows us that to be saved from the wiles and the tricks and the deceptions of shaitan in this world is an incredible performance, a really amazing deed, and also that it is a rarity. In other words, it's very rare. The surprised expression of the malaikas in the heavens tells us this. It may be difficult, but we are not entirely helpless from the machinations of shaitan. Remember, shaitan cannot make us do anything wrong and evil and sinful. He can only suggest evil and sin and wrong to us. It is we that commit the foul act and the sinful deed. Therefore, if our lives are pure and our lives are clean, and if we live in fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in obedience to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then we will be protected and we will be saved from shaitan by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very clear from the following ayah of the Quran Majid, which states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ وَإِخْوَانُهُمْ يَمُدُّونَهُمْ فِي الْغَيِّ ثم لا يقصرون. صدق الله العظيم. سورة أعراف, 7th سورة of the Quran, آيات number 200, 201 and 202, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if an evil suggestion from shaitan comes to you, and if an evil suggestion from shaitan comes to you, in other words, to draw you away from your duty, to draw you away from piety, then seek refuge in Allah. فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Recite, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Oh Allah, grant me shelter and refuge from the waswas of shaitan. Says the Quran, and if an evil suggestion from shaitan comes to you, then seek refuge in Allah, seek the protection of Allah. For verily, Allah is all-hearing and Allah is all-knowing. Verily, those who fear Allah, when a suggestion from shaitan assails them, they remember Allah and they begin to see things correctly. What does this mean, and they begin to see things correctly? It means they see the evils of sin and the wickedness of shaitan. Then says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but as for the brothers of the shayateen, in other words, in mankind there are those who have declared themselves to be the brothers of shaitan, they are the followers of shaitan, they are the slaves of shaitan, meaning of their nafs. But as for the brothers of the shayateen, shaitan makes them continue in error, and afterwards they cannot restrain themselves from following shaitan. In other words, once you cast yourself away from Allah and His Rasul, and once you make abandon yourself to the tentacles, the wiles, the traps, the plots, the schemes of shaitan, then you have no option. But like that sailing boat that has no option, it follows the wind as it takes him over the waters without any choice. He's got no choice. He cannot turn. He's got no awe. He's got no nothing to turn away and to
motivate himself, then he just goes in on in error, on and on and on until he crash lands. That is what happens. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah of the Quran tells us very, very clearly that do not choose the path of shaitan, choose the path of Allah and His Rasul. Fastaiz billah. Whenever any of you, any kind of, you feel there is, you are being drawn through your nafs towards evil and sin, towards wrong, towards desire, towards lust, towards that which is haram, towards the things that are material, immediately think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fasta'iz billah, immediately seek the shelter, protection and refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you do so, inna alladhina taqaw, if you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and immediately remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fa'izahum mubsirun, then you will see that you are being misled and that you are being deceived by shaitan. This realization will immediately come to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow and permit it to dawn upon your mind that this is shaitan who is making waswas of you. Two provisions. One, fasta'iz billah, immediately think of Allah. And the other one, tazakkaru, immediately think, wattaqu wa tazakkaru. So one, seek the protection, shelter and refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, immediately remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In whatever order, it doesn't matter. But these three are fundamental, basic requirements of a Muslim if he wishes to be protected from the evil suggestions of shaitan. One is, fasta'iz billah, immediately seek the protection of Allah. Secondly, tazakkaru, immediately think of Allah, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, ittaqu, live in fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have these three and you fulfill these three basic requirements and conditions and demands, then you may be protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the waswas of shaitan. With regard to the evil suggestions that shaitan makes to man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also informs us in the Quran Majid as follows. With regard to the evil suggestion, because you may wonder, or some of you may wonder, does and can shaitan penetrate my mind, my imagination and my heart? Can shaitan really waswas me? Many people do not believe this. They believe they are so full of themselves that they cannot conceive that shaitan can waswas them, can suggest evil to them, can suggest impiety to them, can suggest things that are evil, sinful and wrong to them. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Bani Adama, all of mankind, all the children of Adam alayhi salam are being addressed here by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Bani Adama, La yaftinannakumu shaytanu kama akhraja abawaykum minal jannah يَنْزِعُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسُهُمَا لِيُرِيَهُمَا سَوْآتِهِمَا إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ Surah A'raf 7, Surah of the Quran, ayat number 27. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam, let not shaitan seduce you, let not shaitan mislead you, let not shaitan tempt you, as he expelled your parents out of Jannah, out of heaven, by removing their clothing to show them their shame. Verily he, shaitan, sees you. Yes, he, shaitan, sees you and his group of devils of shayateen, he and his tribe sees you, whereas you see them not. They see you. Shaitan sees you and shaitan's forces, all his tribe, all his agents, all his children sit and they see you, whereas you see them not. Verily we have made the shayateen friends of those who believe. Shayateen, friends of those who believe not. Ya Bani Adama. Look how beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing not only the Muslimin, not only believers, but the whole and entire spectrum of humanity. All people. Yes, Christians, Jews, Hindus, everybody, Muslimin, all are being addressed here. Every human being, every son and daughter of Adam alayhi salam is addressed here. O children of Adam, Ya Bani Adama, La yaftinannakumu shaitanu kama akhraja abawaykum minal jannati yanzi'u anhuma libasuhuma liyuriyahuma sawatihima O children of Adam, let not Shaitan seduce you as he expelled your parents out of Jannah by removing their clothing to show them their shame. That is what he did. He waswas them, he made them eat of the forbidden, from the forbidden tree. And once they had eaten of it, they lost their clothing, the clothing of Jannah, the clothing of heaven, the clothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed and provided them of Jannah. They lost it because they became material. They preferred material over and above the spiritual. This also by the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that happened. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, your parents, your parent, when he and your mother, when she could have been seduced, tempted by Shaitan, then you, O mankind, you, O children of that mother and father, do you realize how powerful Shaitan is? If you do, then be careful. And here is the warning. Verily, he sees you, he and his... What does this mean? It means also hereby, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive Adam alayhi salatu wa salam and Hawa alayhi salatu wa salam? They were forgiven. He sees you, he and his tribe, whereas you see them not. The waswas of Shaitan to Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wa salam and Hawa alayhi salatu wa salam was such. They did not. They never for a moment thought that that waswas is coming from Shaitan. They never realized. They did not understand this particular fact at that time. Allah prevailed. Allah, this was by the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they ate what they ate according to the plan and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now warning us, you do not fall into the trap of Shaitan. Verily he, Allahu Akbar, innahu yaraakum huwa wa qabiluhu min haythu la tarawnahum. Very important, brothers, for us to take note of this. That he sees, Shaitan sees us, but we do not see him. And says Allah, إِنَّ جَعَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Verily, O Muslimin, the shayateen are there, but you must be careful and safeguard yourselves, restrain yourselves, because we have made the shayateen friends of those who do not believe in Allah and His Rasul. So Muslimin, you and we Muslimin, we should not be deceived by Shaitan. We must know, we must be uppermost, the most careful. Shaitan can perhaps... Shaitan can mislead the whole of the non-Muslimin, but he should not be able, we should not enable him to deceive us, because we are the people that have the gift of this knowledge. We know how to protect ourselves. The kuffar do not know how to protect. And earlier I told you there are millions and millions of Muslims daily being deceived and misled and seduced by Shaitan. What a thing it is for us, we who should know better. The shayateen being made of fire and colorless smoke, lack bodies. Brothers, you have seen this when a fire burns. When we start the fire, you see the smoke coming up. But afterwards, you see the smoke disappears. All right, but if you were to put your hand above the fire, you can feel the heat. You see no smoke, but you feel the heat of the fire. All right? Now, it is that kind of... It is not the smoke of the fire that Shaitan is made from. It is from the heat. That is why we say he's made of fire. It is that heat, that sightless heat. Now Shaitan is like that. That is how we do not see him, because it is like that invisible smoke that rises above the fire. That is what he is made of. So we say, the Shayateen being made of fire and colorless smoke lack bodies which are visible. You feel the heat, but you do not see any body. You do not see any space being occupied by that heat. But it is there, the heat that fire generates. Now Shaitan is like that. He is not visible to the human eye. They do have bodies, however. They do have figures and they do have shapes. And they may become visible to those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants such sight and vision out of human beings. In other words, there are certain human beings who have been endowed and bestowed with a gift. They have a, call it a third eye, or call it a special gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do manage to see with their naked eyes. They do see these shayateen, but they are very few and far between. So we are saying, I am saying here that they do have bodies. Though these bodies are invisible to the human eye, they do have bodies, they do have figures, they do have shapes, and they may become visible to some. And to those who instruct and teach them the deen of Islam, there are amongst the pious and very Allah-fearing ulama and huffaz of Islam to whom these jinns actually come. We're talking here basically of the jinns. The pious jinns, they come to them and they ask them to be included in the class, and then they wish to become hafiz of Quran, and they wish to study fiqh and tafsir and hadith and Islamic all the Islamic teachings. and they sit in the class. Now you will notice in our madaris, I've noticed this in our Darulun Deoban when we are studying, that the ustad, where he sits, then in front of him there is a little circular half a gap, you know, there's a gap in front. And I understand, though I have not seen this, I understand that that space in front of the ustad is occupied by these jinns that have come to learn under that ustad by him. Alright? What I'm saying is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bestow the ustads of these jinns so that he can control them. Allah can bestow to his vision that he can see them. Alright? Okay, what I'm saying basically is these jinns are devoid of color and concrete material bodies. In other words, they are immaterial. They do not have a concrete body whereby we can see them. Therefore, they remain invisible to the vast majority of human beings. The shayateen, however, clearly see all human beings with the eyes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the jinn. They clearly see human beings very, very clearly, and this gives them easy access to make mischief upon people. Human beings cannot transform themselves into invisibility and spy or make mischief on the shayateen. We cannot return the compliment to the shayateen. In other words, the shayateen, the evil, the seductions and the temptations that they pass our way, they can do it to us. We cannot do it unto them. This is our human weakness, because we do not see them. They see us and they can do all these things. So human beings cannot transform themselves into invisibility and spy or make mischief on the shayateen. Another major difference between us and the jinns and the shayateen is the speed of movement of the shayateen compared to the slowness of human beings. If a jinn sits here and he decides that tomorrow he wants to be in Australia or any European country or the States, wherever, then the jinn, within a fraction of an eye, he will be in that particular space. He will have crossed the space and be in Australia. For example, if I were to tell you in minutes, let's say a jinn would say, or a shaitan would say, because shaitan basically are evil jinns, that I will be in Australia in 15 minutes time. Now, we humans cannot compare. With us, it will be minimum, you know, going home and packing and so on. Even if we were to leave from the airport, we're looking at 20, 24 hours before we reach there. And by the fastest jet, I'm sure it won't take under 10 hours, whereas the jinn is there in 10 minutes, 15 minutes time. So what I am saying basically is, they can do more harm to us, because they have this. One, they are invisible to the naked eye. Secondly, they have this vast speed of movement compared to the slowness of human movement. Another important difference also is the ability of the shayateen to penetrate the bodies, minds and hearts of human beings, to even go into their imaginations and cast pictures in their imagination, to draw pictures in the imagination of human beings by penetrating their minds. This ability they have, and they even have the ability to go into the bloodstream of man and to flow in the veins that carry these blood in the human being, in the arteries. They can circulate at remarkable speeds through the bloodstream of the human being, and thence waswas every portion and every part of his brain and every part of his body. We cannot do that to the shayateen. What I am pointing out now, before we go on to further stories, is the power and the control that shaitan exercises over man. And all man has got to do is, with true iman and true yaqeen and true a'mal, all he's got to say is, A'uzu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Oh Allah, I recognize that within me, within my mind, within my heart, within my body, shaitan is operating. Therefore Allah, protect me, I seek thy refuge. Thine refuge I seek, O Allah, you protect me from the waswas of shaitan. We recite our quls daily. Qul a'uzu bi rabbin nas, qul a'uzu bi rabbil falaq. These are all, what I'm saying is, fasta'iz billah. Qul a'uzu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. The two quls daily, ayatul kurs daily, alright? These are the things that we should recite. And if we can, Surah Yasin every day. So much we have of protective mechanisms, alright? If we do these things, then we would, Surah Tabarak at night before we go to sleep. Ayatul Kurs at night before we go to sleep, the two quls before we go to sleep, or the four quls before we go to sleep. All these are simple formulas that take seconds, not even minutes, which we can do, and then we can be protected from. But look at the power of shaitan, and that power of shaitan is as nothing before man, if man carries out the advice that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given to mankind. So here I am saying, all these things shaitan. So that third major difference between shaitan, as I said, the first is the fact that he is invisible. Secondly, the speed of movement. And thirdly, the ability to penetrate the mind and imagination of man. Thus the above quoted ayah informs us very clearly with an excellent example, the example of Adam and Hawa alayhum as-salam, of the immense power of mischief, of fitna on people by shaitan to lead people astray. Men therefore must be ever watchful for the seductions and the temptations of shaitan. The Muslims are extremely fortunate in this matter, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left us with many teachings to protect ourselves from the mischief of the shayateen. For the information of those who may not be aware, the last chapter of our lesson on shaitan's plan for man, which we are going to do still, will deal with these teachings. In other words, the protective statements, how we protect our, and the protective mechanisms which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given to us. That is what we will do in the last chapter, the chapter that's going to follow the one we are doing now, which will be the closing chapter of our lesson on shaitan's plan for man. O Muslims, shaitan is steadily gaining the upper hand in this world, and he has the active support and participation of the unbelieving peoples of this world, who are the vast majority, who form the vast majority of the peoples of the world. Brothers, we need not tell you. Look around and see. The whole of the Middle East, all those 17 Muslim countries that are in the Middle East are all in the power of the shayateen, of the shayateen incited peoples. The whole of Europe, many large parts of Asia and the United States are controlled by the shayateen, brothers. Here you have already, I said very earlier, verily, here, let me recite the ayah. Inna ja'alna shayateena awliya'a lilladheena la yu'minoon. Verily, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have made the shayateen friends of those who believe not. Who are these people that are surrounding the Muslim states that are in Yugoslavia, that are in Eastern Europe? What is the idea? All of a sudden, through the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those Middle Eastern and those Eastern European Muslim countries that had always been Muslims in the past, that had been usurped and taken over by communism and the communist Marxist philosophy, all of them, the Muslims were oppressed, the ulama were killed, Quran was removed, masajid were turned into inns and wine parlors and gambling halls. You think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw this and kept, that his houses were desecrated? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw. You think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do nothing about it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all the time, and here it's coming. The whip of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is falling on them, and therefore it is causing the non-Muslim people of the world, the awliya ash-shayateen, here it is, all these friends of the devil, they are drawing into one camp, because then they can see the rise of the Muslim peoples spells doom for this world. It spells the end to their power. Because they know, history teaches them, that Muslimin without material resources and without weapons can yet beat the forces of the unbelievers. Over and over, Badr was but one. Over and over, over the centuries, Muslimin have proved to them, the Ottoman Empire proved to them, with weaker weapons they overcame the forces of the unbelievers. So history, they know very, very well, much better than what we know our history. And they know, if the Muslimin arise, if they fill up their mosques again, when they turn to zikrullah, when they turn to ibadah, when they turn to tilawa, when they turn to their salah, Allahu Akbar, the kuffar know so well, it is discussed in the corridors, in the powerful corridors and parliaments of the kuffar, that if this Muslim rises, it is our end. They know this. It is our end. And therefore they are doing everything in their power to create a huge onslaught. Now in their planning, what happened in Darun Nadwa? When was it? Last week we discussed what happened in Darun Nadwa, or the week before. Alright? Before the Battle of Badr. What about the Hijrah? We discussed there the plans and schemes of shaitan to mislead the kuffar and mushrikeen, munafiqeen of Makkah. What did he do? Who came into that meeting? Shaitan. In those parliament houses and in those corridors of power of the munafiqeen and mushrikeen and kuffar peoples of the world, who is suggesting to them ways to keep Islam down and to keep the Muslimin down? Who do you think it is? Who is sitting there giving, waswasing them with plans of how to prevent the rise of Islam? how to prevent the revival of Islam. You think if Shaitan could go to the people of Makkah, to the kuffar, mushrikeen, munafiqeen of Makkah, and give them the plan that this is how Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam must be slain? What a clever scheme. Each one of you must carry the sword and each one of you must strike the body of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in this way, blame cannot be laid by the family of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the door of one tribe. It has to be laid at the door of all the tribes. So we will give them their blood money and the story will, but we will have got rid of him. Na'uzu billah. Today, what is a complot? What is the plan today of the unbelievers of the world? How best can we prevent the rise of Islam? We do not want to see another Ottoman Empire. We do not want to see another Khalifa of the Muslimin. Everything they will do to see to it that there is no Khalifa of the Muslimin. Because if we Muslimin get together and we come to an understanding and arrangement and we take our most pious and our most God-fearing, Allah-fearing man and we select him and appoint him as our Khalifa, as a Khalifa, and the whole Muslim nations of the whole Muslim world accept him as our Khalifa, you know what will happen? Allahu Akbar. The kuffar don't stand a chance, brothers. They don't stand, they know this, therefore they will never ever allow the Muslim nations to come together. Divide and rule, divide and rule. There it is happening all over. All the time it is happening, we do not realize. That is by the waswas and the planning of Shaitan. So I make this statement and I say, O Muslimin, we're ending off in the next few minutes. O Muslimin, Shaitan is steadily gaining the upper hand in this world and he has the active support and participation of the unbelieving peoples of the world. Not only is the ugly and hideous habit of the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, which was sodomy, becoming rampant among them, but they are being drawn like flies towards every kind of evil and sin in which shamelessness and immodesty pervades. You look at the kuffar and mushrikeen. The more they are being sucked in by Shaitan, the more they are being waswased and evil suggestions being made to, and the more they are being guided by Shaitan, the more corrupt and immoral they are becoming. Brothers, they can say what they want to about other nations and other peoples, but diseases like AIDS and diseases of lung and liver and heart, diseases of skin that is amongst them is unbelievable. We Muslims will never, statistics don't reveal anything to us. What Shaitan is doing to them, the more they are following Shaitan, the more Shaitan is pushing them into immorality, corruption and sin. Alright? So what I am saying is, they are in their own loathsome mess. They are in the pool of immorality, in the pool of corruption. They will sink in that. Not only are many people becoming physically diseased of the kuffar and mushrikeen and munafiqeen, they are becoming mentally and spiritually diseased also. These are statistics that we do not often read about. But amongst them, the increase in retarded, mentally retarded and physically disabled people, the millions of children that are killed by them and aborted by them, every time there's a scan and it is seen that supposedly there's something wrong with the child is aborted. And millions daily this is happening, brothers, amongst them. Such ugly and physically deformed children are being born because they have no lifestyle, they have no creed, they have no discipline, they have nothing. They are totally shameless and free, completely corrupt and immoral. They sleep with whom they want. A man sleeps with whom he wants. A woman sleeps with whom she wants. Totally liberated, free-loving, free-speaking, completely idolatrous, mushrikeen, kafirin they are. Those are the type of people that they are. And the amount of children being born amongst them that are, in this case, as I say, mentally and spiritually diseased, is a shame. Yet they do not realize all of these are portents of the hereafter, a destruction of themselves. So they have to plot and plan against the pure Islam and the pure Muslimin. For a handful of pure Muslimin, yes, 1,000 will overcome a billion. Nay, 100 will overcome a million kuffar and mushrikeen. This the kuffar know. A handful of Muslimin, true Muslimin, Salihin Muslimin, true followers of Quran and Sunnah, can overcome all the impious forces of this world. If we Muslims can only realize this. We have to protect ourselves, we have to safeguard our children, we have to look after the future. Posterity looks to us to do the right thing. Our safety and security lies in total and willing surrender to the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only then will our future be secure. We must abandon the ways of the kuffar and mushrikeen, muslimin, we must. Abandon the ways, leave the ways, discard the ways of the kuffar and mushrikeen, and we must live according to the Quran and Sunnah. Too many of us have opted for their ways and their lifestyles. That is both disastrous and totally destructive. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only the chosen messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the final Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can guide us and help us, and we must totally rely, trust and depend on this belief. That is our life. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help and guide us, all us Muslimin, inshallah. Amin. Jazakumullah. Wa akhiru da'wana. Anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله all thanks all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our maker Allah our creator Allah our sustainer Allah our Rabb and the word Rabb means the one who brings us up into this world and sustains us until the day we die we believe we are completely and totally dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala it is Allah that provides Allah that nourishes Allah that sustains Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to whom we turn for our every need. And we send darood and salam upon the beloved and final messenger of Allah ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our lesson, Shaitan's plan for man. We are now in the second last chapter of our lesson, and this particular chapter deals with and traces the methods and the manners whereby Shaitan misled, deceived, beguiled people, and then of course led them into the three major forms of disbelief. One is hypocrisy, nifaq. Second is kufr, which is disbelief, rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one way or another. And the third form is that of shirk, which means idolatry, the practices of idolatry. These are the three ways into which Shaitan led various people into. We are now studying by example, with examples, how Shaitan employed his various evil skills in order to deceive mankind. We did one chapter last week, and today we commence with a new one, also on the same subject. This chapter is titled The Beguiling and the Schismatic Influence of Shaitan on Mankind. The Beguiling Influence and the schismatic influence of Shaitan on mankind. Beguiling influence means how he deceives man and how he deceived man. And secondly, schismatic means how he divided man. Beguile, to deceive. Schismatic, how he divided man. Man was one ummah. The anbiyas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of them, more than 100,000 of them, came to mankind with one message, believe in one Allah. And human beings, though we may be of different hues and colors and features and be born in different countries of different mothers and belong to different tribes, basically the human race is one brotherhood. We are all the children of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in spite of other cultural and differences that we may have amongst us. We are all basically one, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the greatest and the best amongst us is the one who fears Allah the most, the one who is the most pious and devout amongst us. That has always been the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How has Shaitan gone about beguiling mankind and creating divisions and schisms amongst mankind? From the very beginning, we proceed now, from the very beginning of human existence on earth, which is dated to about 5 million years. Oh, brothers, the scientists cannot, archaeologists cannot, anthropologists cannot exactly determine how old human existence on earth is. I've read of various time slots given. Huge, major ones running into billions of years and then running into millions of years. And then last night I read one which says man's existence on this earth is only 6,000 years old. So we do not know. But let us take one of them, one of the figures, which comes close enough and say that human existence on earth is 5 million years old. Since that time, since the beginning of human existence on earth, Shaitan has sworn to be the enemy of man and to do everything in his power through cunning schemes and crafty plots to deceive and to mislead man from the truth and from the right path. Shaitan set about his task of evil intent with a very definite purpose from the very first day of man's existence on earth, and has never steered away from this course that he set for himself, not even by a single degree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took man, placed him on earth, and set a certain course for mankind, a certain way, a certain path, a sirat for man, from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Man, this is your path, this is your way, this is what you must follow, this is how you must believe. Shaitan set himself a path also, a goal also, and that was to destroy man, to deceive man, to beguile man, all the rest, all those synonyms that go with deception, all that was Shaitan set himself. And he announced aloud in the heavens that, Adam, you and your children, I will mislead you on earth. Oh Allah, you have granted me permission, you have granted me a wish. You will understand better if I say, Shaitan asked that one wish be granted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will grant you your wish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his hikmah, in Allah's wisdom, which is absolute wisdom, Allah had the authority to do so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the creator and sustainer of the entire universe. Allah has the right to decide as he wills. And Allah's will decided to grant Shaitan permission and Shaitan's wish, which he desired. For Shaitan had served Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very well, very obediently, for eons and eons. Again, I use the word eons and eons, meaning for many, many ages, thousands of years, millions of years. Wallahu alam, Allah only knows. But ever since Shaitan was born, created, he was and lived in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until Adam was born. Until Adam was created, and then he disobeyed Allah, and he said, Oh Allah, I know I have disobeyed you. I know you have now cursed me. But I ask you for one wish. Will you grant me that wish? Allah says, Yes, I will grant you the wish. What is your wish? And he says, My wish is to mislead man on earth, to deceive man on earth, to lead man away from you, O Allah, on earth. Shaitan set himself. Shaitan was sent down to earth, and then he set about his purpose. In the kitabs it is written, in every kitab dealing with Shaitan, yes, in the Quran Majid as well, yes, in every revealed book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this fact has written that Shaitan has never shifted from his course, not even by one degree. The purpose he set himself, he has been busy with that every day since the creation, of man. People are fully aware of Shaitan's consistent enmity, but they often become forgetful and unmindful of it, and they fall for his temptations and they slip into his traps. People forget, but Shaitan never forgets his purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout time, in every age, in every century, to everyone in mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the message of truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the truth within his nature and within his disposition. Yet man forgets, yet man becomes ignorant, yet man becomes unmindful of his purpose, a purpose for which he has been created, in spite of being reminded of it millions of times by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The very nature that surrounds him, his environment, every living thing that exists around him reminds him of the truth of Tawheed. Every one of it reminds him that there is a creator. Everything reminds him that creator and sustainer can only be one. Everything reminds him of La ilaha illallah, that there is a power that is divine, that is totally and absolutely powerful. That is Almighty Allah. So we say, man forgets this. On the day of judgment, brothers, how are we going to stand up and say that we were unmindful and ignorant? How are the kuffar going to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they say every blade of grass and every leaf of every tree that you ever laid your eyes upon told you La ilaha illallah, informed you of La ilaha illallah, and yet you did not accept this particular truth by which you were asked, not compelled, by which you were asked, over which you were given an option to live by, that code to live by, that discipline to live by, that teaching, that belief to live by. Everything bespoke of La ilaha illallah. Why did you not accept? What are the kuffar going to answer? What I am saying here, man forgets, Shaitan never forgot his purpose. He never, for one single split second, not one millionth of a second, does Shaitan ever forget his purpose. The purpose to mislead man, to lead man astray. People forget, but Shaitan never forgets. He keeps to his task of deceiving people like the breathing of humans day and night, awake and asleep, never missing a beat, a single heartbeat. And he has kept to this program of deception and intrigue throughout the ages with all human cultures and to every human civilization. Subhanallah. Can we say Subhanallah? I don't know if it is appropriate to say Subhanallah. Allah alone knows why this is so. It is Allah's hikmah. But throughout every culture and civilization that has existed,